Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, Elijah Campbell here with you. Darren on assignment today. He'll be back hopefully tomorrow. Floyd Reese. Jared and the GM, of course, every day on our airwaves, starting at 2 o'clock, going until 6. Floyd joins us, and make a point of this throughout the football season. He's going to join our show weekly at this time, Tuesday. What day is today? Thursday. 11 a.m. I'm getting my days mixed up. But, Floyd, thanks for coming on with us once again. We've got plenty to talk about and some things that you have been right on top of and very outspoken about. Let's start with the kicker, Steven Guskowski.
Got the kicker cut.
Yeah, well, I know Chase has been giving you a hard time, but it looks like you hit the nail right on the head. They got the guy that was kind of in their backyard and a guy that's done a lot in the league. And if he's healthy, he should be a really good fit.
And I think that's it. You know, you've got a guy that is, I think we looked it up the other day, he was like number five or number six all-time kicker in the league. You know, that is not old for a kicker. You know, we've seen kickers go way beyond 40. So
yeah, how old was Gary Anderson when you guys brought him? I'm trying to remember. I'll look it up, but he was mid-40s, wasn't he?
Well, it may have been. but, I mean, we've seen guys kick, you know, to 45. I want to say that the Raiders had a guy that kicked maybe till he was like 48, but a long time. And Steven has seen it all, done it all, you know, been in every pressure situation, has, you know, won a ton of games, has missed kicks. He's, you know, literally done it all. And going into a season, like, I mean, you know, you can look at last year, and I think you can probably count maybe 2, 3, 4 games that we lost just before the kicker. Buffalo is the one that jumps out at me all the time, where, you know, you just go in, you miss 3 kicks, and you lose.
Yep.
I mean, it's that simple. And you know, we're going to be playing a lot of games like that. You know, I think it's going to be – that's kind of the brand of football we play. It's fairly close, and it's going to – you win or lose by 2, 3, 4, 5 points. And so field goals in those different situations are enormous. And you need somebody that's been there and done that. Not, you know, he's not going to be 100%. We know that. No kicker is. But he's – you know, you're not – if you're the coach and you say, okay, I need a – 40-yarder kicked. You can run him out there, and in your mind, you're calculating, okay, there's a 90% chance he makes this. Now, you say you're going to kick a 55-yarder. Well, if you decide to run him out there, you know there's probably 50-50 at best. And consequently, you may say, well, you know what? I've got a better chance of going for it on 4th-and-1 and getting it than I do trying this 55-yard field goal. So I think it allows the coach the ability to calculate some things a little bit closer so that he knows the decision he's making and you know, from an analytical or percentage, you know, chance of winning gives them the best opportunity to go ahead and find a way to win a game.
The stat I think you were referring to, Floyd, he is 87.4% in his career in field goals, which puts him 5th all-time in accuracy. And of course, as you know, as the years have gone by, the kickers as a whole have gotten more accurate. So, you know, if you look at the greatest of all time, in the top 17, almost all of them are still active because it's become the norm to hit well over 80%. He's hit well over 90%. In several years. So I guess the only question I have is, Floyd, as the GM, when he comes in, you know his track record. You know, he's one of the best ever. But he had issues last year. He had hip surgery. What makes you – how do you do your homework to feel good about his health, that that's not an issue anymore and he's going to be himself?
Yeah, and that's a question. You know, I think we're fortunate here in that I believe it was a hip. I could be completely wrong.
Yes, that's correct.
But I thought – was it a hip?
Yep, hip surgery. Yeah.
And we've got the best hip doctor in the country, maybe the world, right here in Dr. Bird. So I would think, you know, anybody with a hip you could bring in, and Dr. Bird could look at him and he could give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And you, and once again, you know, your chances of being correct, I think, would probably skyrocket if he said he was okay. So, I mean, I think they can work their way through those things. They do have to get themselves in a position where they feel comfortable with that, you know, because it's, you know, we've seen it before. It's just not worth the risk of going through another season where you're playing, you know, carousel kickers. Who's coming in this week? You know, well, we'll try him. He misses one. Okay, who's next? That's kind of like we've seen with quarterbacks. You know, you play carousel quarterbacks, and you end up not being able to win games. So, you know, I like the move. I like Steve. He's a Tennessee guy. He is, you know, kicked very, very well under tremendous pressure. So, you know, a guy that that I think you can count on.
You talked about it. You know, it's not like we didn't discuss it last year, but Mike Vrabel and the team itself was taking a lot of heat, especially the first half or 10 games, you know, before they started to get going at the end of the year, for all their struggles. But as you mentioned, had they had rock-solid kicking, if their kicker had hit 87%, then they would have cruised into the playoffs if everything else stayed the same, right? It just illustrates how important the kicker is in the game. You went through it as the GM in Houston before you guys found Al Del Greco. You know, the Oilers were having, this going back to the Houston days, the Oilers were having a lot of trouble for a period of time before you found Al, right? There was some guys that you fired and hired, and, you know, you went through that for a time or two.
Oh, and it's a nightmare, you know, because you just can't find, well, the guy you're looking for, the guy that can, you know, maybe not give you 87%, that's pretty high, but give you something that you can rely on. He's already signed and playing for somebody. So the guy you're bringing in and trying is a guy that, you know, probably has failed multiple times. And so, you know, I always thought if you have a young guy and he's tried two or three different spots and failed, then he may be, you know, working himself to a point where he now understands the league. He now understands his responsibilities, things he has to do. And he might be primed for a guy that you could sign and keep for a while. You know, a la Al and some of the guys that we had, you know, Nednies and guys that came in and kicked for a period of time and kicked pretty well. You know, if you need somebody in the last minute, you know, desperation, kind of like, oh, we got to make a move now, then you're probably looking for somebody that has been established, somebody that, that, you know, has a reputation, has, as I said before, been there, done that.
By the way, we were talking about Stephen Gostkowski's age being young for a kicker at age 36. The reference point, we were talking about Gary Anderson. He was 44 when you guys brought him off of the fly fishing course or wherever he was in the far-off lands to come back and kick in 2003 when Joe Nedney hurt his knee. And he kicked the next year. I didn't remember that, but he was the kicker the next year for the Titans at age 45. So
yeah, because
the kickers can go for a while.
Didn't Nedney get hurt 2 years in a row?
He got hurt, and yeah, I think he did, as a matter of fact. Got an ACL one time and then got something else. I can't remember what it was. But literally got Gary out of a trout stream in Canada and came down here and kicked and did so well for us the next year. First time I ever did this in my career. In fact, the only time. He didn't want to come back the next year because he had this. I think it was a resort, like a fishing resort up in Canada someplace, and loved it up there. And he wanted to go back and kind of do that. And I said, well, how about this? And what we did was we let him go from game time until like Wednesday morning. And then Wednesday morning, he'd fly back down here and practice, play the game and then fly back up, trout fish for a few days, and then come back. He went back and forth for like a year doing that.
That is a great story. Floyd, before I turn it over to Chase, give us your thoughts on the fit, Leonard Fournette to the Buccaneers.
You know, for them, I mean, I like it. He's Fournette, and it's interesting with him because right now people are, you know, he got cut and, you know, he's this, that, and the other, and there are a lot of terms flying around, and they could all be true. You know, we really don't know. But last year, he gained almost 1,200 yards rushing and had like 65. He had 25 more catches as a running back than our best receiver. 25 more catches.
Given those numbers, are you surprised nobody took a flyer on him on the waiver wire, that he made it to free agency, basically?
I was, yeah. I was kind of surprised because $4 million for a starting running back is really not a lot of money. And
right.
But I think that goes to show you his reputation, I guess I'll use that term, or his, you know, how people in the league see him. And this is good for young players, and I've said this a couple of days now. This just goes to show you this guy was as productive as any running back in the NFL, any running back, and he couldn't get a job because of all the other stuff. And not necessarily law. You know, I don't know that I ever heard of him getting arrested, for example, or getting busted with drugs or any of those kinds of things. It was all locker room, you know, how you are perceived by those guys when you're not on the field. And that was not good. And that really, really hurt him.
We're talking to the GM, Floyd Reese. You can hear him on Jared and the GM 2-6 weekdays here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So, Floyd, you and I have had the conversation. We've heard you and Jared had the conversation about Jadeveon Clowney, and you're not very high on him. And one thing that, and I've listened to it recently, I know his price right now is not in the range that you or anybody else would really want. But when I look at the Titans and how thin they are at pass rush, how you don't know when Vic Beasley is going to be available, it stands out to me even more that you feel that way about Clowney. That you, I heard the clip of even with league minimum, you'd be weary. Why? What is it that is turning you off so much about Clowney, even knowing the needs that the Titans currently have?
You know, I think there are a number of things. You know, first of all, he's been injured. We, you know, that's well documented. He is not. You know, if playing football was the absolute most important thing to him, he had several opportunities to sign a contract and play football. You know, I heard today that Cleveland had offered him a 3-year deal averaging like $17 or $18 million a year, and he turned it down. Now, I can understand not going to Cleveland, but when you're a money guy like he's a money guy, I mean, to turn down $17 or $18 for 3 years to not go to Cleveland, it makes you wonder. The things, it's funny because in my mind, the things that we're knocking Beasley for. You know, what's wrong with him? Why isn't he practicing? He should have been here. He should have, you know, does he want to even play? All the things that are coming out. We don't even know Beasley. But we're taking, you know, that's all film. Well, it's the same thing for Clowney. Why isn't he signed? Why isn't he playing? Hasn't he been to practice? Why?
Right.
And I keep thinking in my mind, I'll say this, and I've said this all along. If Mike Vrabel is standing on a table and saying, this is our guy, then it would change my opinion, you know, immediately, because he's the head coach and he knows him. He has worked with him. But that hasn't happened. And let's face it, if we bring him in right now to start a physical, he wouldn't even be able to be out to practice until probably Wednesday of next week. Now, can you
right.
go out practice Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays, and play on Monday? I don't know. You know, I just, there are a lot of question marks that in my mind shouldn't be there. If he is everything we want him to be, you know, we want him to be a double-digit sacker, which I think he's done once in his entire career. And I don't know, you know, that that matches up exactly with what we're seeing now. And that scares me. That really concerns me. But I don't, like I said before, if Vrabel says yes, you know, let's do it. And if I can get him down to the money that I can handle as the GM, then I'd sign him just off of what the head coach wants.
So when you make the commitment, as John Robinson has done, to have your philosophy of this is what I want the team to be, and he said in his opening press conference when he got hired, I want team first guys.
Right.
And he's stuck by that. I mean, the, you know, I joke with you, you got the kicker cut. You know, you also saw saw that something needed to change with a wide receiver that got traded for Dennis Kelly, and we see how Dennis Kelly has worked out. He's made that commitment to bring in those type guys. But how hard is it as a GM to look out and you see some talented players? They don't necessarily fit that mold that you have put together and tried to build everything around. How hard is it to let those guys go somewhere else, walk by those guys, just so you stick to the principle of this is what I said I was going to do, and so I'm going to keep doing that?
Yeah, it's difficult. And I think it's all based off of, you know, who your team is and the maturity of your team and all of those kinds of issues. The thing we're seeing, and this is a Leonard Fournette case, the thing we're seeing is that what they see that the Titans have right now, they meaning the league, what they see, because, I mean, the Titans aren't the most talented team out there. Let's face it. You know, they've got their A team, a good, solid team, and they're well coached, and they do have some players. I'm not saying that. But, I mean, you could look at a lot of other teams and say, you know what, they really shouldn't have beaten Baltimore. You know, they really shouldn't have beaten New England. They really shouldn't. And you can go through and name simply off of talent, you know, from a talent standpoint. But I think people are seeing, you know, not that it's a secret to anybody, but what the locker room can be and what it can do. And they're staying away from the Fournettes, and they're looking more at what the Titans are doing. They're looking more at the Derrick Henrys. You know, could you imagine if Derrick Henry was put on the market? Now, he's not near the receiver Fournette was, but he did lead the league in rushing. But they had about the same number of yards. If you would have put Derrick Henry on the, you know, wave him on Monday and wave Fournette the next day, I mean, there would have been a stampede to Derrick Henry.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, there would have been, literally every team in the league would have claimed him. And part of that is who Derrick Henry is.
Well said. Floyd Reese, thank you very much for joining us. Enjoy your show this afternoon. We'll be listening, and we'll talk to you again next week on our show.
Thanks, you guys.
All right. Floyd Reese, the GM, Jared and the GM, 2 to 6 every weekday here on 102.5 The Game. Some interesting thoughts that he had there. We'll tackle the Clowney thing a little bit more when we come back, because that was some good stuff. Stay tuned. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.